Welcome to the Star Coach Show, episode 398. I'm Meg Rentschler.
In your content, focus on the connection, focus on that solution, but more importantly, figure out what your audience, what really resonates with them. And I love that you're like paying attention to the feedback that you're getting, because all of those nuggets are things that are worth sharing to the masses because it makes you different. It sets you apart.
That was the founder of Oh Snap Social, Carlin Ancrum, who joins us today to talk about tailoring our social media marketing so that it's strategic and resonates with our audience. We have so much to learn, so join us.
Welcome to Star Coaches, the show for professional coaches that brings you coaching strategies, tools, and resources. Whatever your focus or niche, take a front seat weekly as industry leaders, decision makers, and innovators share their wisdom and expertise on the ins and outs of successful coaching. Now join your host, Meg Rentschler, as she connects you with your star coaching potential.
Carlin Ancrum, welcome to the Star Coach Show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Meg.
Well, thank you so much for asking to be on the show, because a lot of people ask to be on the show. And there was something about your energy and your focus when I was given your information that I thought it was well worth having a conversation. And then once we had our conversation, I was like, oh, yes, Carlin needs to be on the show. So let me tell everybody just a little bit about you so that they'll all be in the place of, oh, yeah, I get why Meg is having her on the show. So you are the founder and lead strategist of Oh Snap, which I love, Oh Snap Social, which is a social media company, obviously, but you're also the creator of Fan Firestarter Framework, which we'll talk a little bit about what that is. That's a new approach to social media marketing tailored to businesses. You probably want to say this, but I'll say it for you. Tempted to fake their death and flee to Tahiti at the mere thought of content creation. How many people are saying amen, hallelujah right now based upon that? You developed your user-friendly strategy after a decade of working with brick and mortar. And then you get into this place of so many people are online and COVID happened and all those things happened. So we talked about the fact that we really want to lean into what are some simple tweaks that your experience shows us that will elevate our social media presence, that will help us create content. Everybody listen, if you're like, oh, social media, come back to me. Because our promise to you is that we're going to talk about how can you create content in an hour or less each week that is going to connect you with your audience. That's what we're here to talk about today. Thank you so much for joining me to do so. Round of applause before we even begin. Okay, there we go. So let's start with, well, where do you want to start? Like, how is this even possible?
It's so funny because a lot of people come to me and they all kind of say the same thing. Carlin, I don't like social media. Carlin, I don't have time for social media. Carlin, I'm overwhelmed. It's changing every single time I turn around. And to that, I say, you're not wrong, but let's take a deep breath to get a collective deep breath, because where people miss the opportunity is how cool is it to think about in today's world, we can market our businesses, market our books, market ourselves from a personal branding standpoint, right? To the world without having to put it in, say, a Yellow Pages. Do you remember those?
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah.
I remember when I first went into business for myself in 1990, it was thousands of dollars to go into the Yellow Pages. And that was what you wanted to do back then.
And now we can do it for free. And I think people get wrapped up in this, oh, it's not getting enough eyeballs. It's not getting enough this. But I will tell you, when you're focused on the right measurements for your business based on your outcomes, based on what you're driving results for, those minuscule, I'm going to call them minuscule, because I don't know about you, but even if 100 people, 30 people watched my video on Instagram, I would be overwhelmed. It's like inviting 30 people into your office to see what you're doing.
Exactly.
Like I don't know, but I'd be like, why are you all here? What do you need? You know, get away. Yeah. But people are like, oh, only 30 people saw it. I'm like, that's 30 more people than, before.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that 30 people who aren't necessarily in your backyard, because that was the other thing. When I first began business, if I spent thousands of dollars, that would have only gone to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So that would have been, you know, now that's a large area. I get that. But when we do it right, what we're talking about today, this is global.
Yeah. And now I do recognize too, that there are some brands that maybe are very, you know, geographically tied to what they need to do, right?
True.
My background is in that brick and mortar space, but there are ways to optimize your content so that it's being shown to those people who are living in that area or visiting that area, right? But I think the biggest thing is we have to get out of our own way. And that's a mindset thing. That's a mindset shift that we all need to make and be comfortable. It takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. Showing up for ourselves, but more importantly, showing up for the people who are our audience who need the solutions that we have. And I have this all over my website, and it's actually a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk, if you're familiar with him. He owns a huge agency in New York. And he said, if you're not online, you don't exist. Because people are window shopping online for all the things. I mean, and again, Gen Z, I'll say one thing that they're changing. Again, if your audience isn't Gen Z right now, it's eventually going to be, right? Because we all get older. And they are utilizing social platforms right now to search for things. They're utilizing search inside these platforms. So if you're not showing up, you're missing out. If you're not being clear in your message, you're missing out. As well as some of these tactics we'll talk about, right? As well as utilizing some of the search keywords, those types of things, which is, again, a little bit more of an advanced tactic. I get that. But the biggest thing is you're there to build relationships. And I think it's social media, right? We let that piece be an afterthought rather than it being the forefront of why we're even on social media to begin with.
To be social, to connect, to build relationships. So as coaches, it is a relationship business, and it becomes, when you're clear about your message, and what I love to tell coaches is you have some message that somebody out there desperately needs. So you're doing a disservice by not sharing your message. They need you. They need your message. I just in this past like 7 days, and it's probably been less than 7 days, but I'm on medicine right now for a cold. So who knows? Medicine head, I'm going to say 7 days.
Yes.
I have heard at least 6 times, Meg, you say that. Yeah, I've heard that before, but the way that you say it just resonated like I've never heard it before. I heard that in the class I taught last week. I heard it in a group that I did yesterday. I mean, like, Meg, you give a message that is not new information, but the way you say it is new. So what I would say to all of you listening, you have a message that only you can say.
No, and I am of that same camp, because if you think about it, even in the social media space, there's thousands of people just like me that talk about social media, that do social media for other folks, who do strategy and all of the things, but there's something that people are attracted to me versus someone else. And that's what I always say is, in your content, focus on the connection, focus on that solution, but more importantly, figure out what your audience, what really resonates with them. And I love that you're like paying attention to the feedback that you're getting, because all of those nuggets are things that are worth sharing to the masses, because it makes you different. It sets you apart, because you could be saying the same thing, but it's just the way you say it that, like, you know, light bulbs go off in someone's head and they're like, oh yeah, that's exactly right. Or I love how you put that. And the more, I'm going to say polarizing, but like the more opinionated you can be in your content, or more, this is the way I do it, that will attract more people to you and repel people who aren't for you. And that is the best case scenario, because you're not for everybody.
And I want everybody to hear that. Repelling the people who are not right for you is okay. Do not lay awake at night worrying about that. It's what's the message that will bring people to you that light you up to work with.
Yes. All of that.
All of that. So we think about this 1 hour or less. We know that we want to build relationships. We know that we want to create clarity. Any tips for creating clarity?
I really think you have to test. I really do think you have to test the messaging. You have to be clear yourself. I think that's a big thing, because again, going back to our recent comment, is you're not for everybody. And so if you can be really clear on your pain points, and if you don't know what they are, talk to more of your clients or talk to more prospects or more people who are like your ideal clients so that you can really hone in the message. And that's often an undervalued tactic to pull out information. Because my favorite thing to do is also to look at the engagement of content that I'm getting and see how are they asking questions. What are they describing and how are they describing it? And then quite literally utilizing their language back to them
right
in my content. And they're like,
which is exactly what we do with coaches.
Yeah.
Come on, coaches. This is not new information. And yet we like keep ourselves siloed. Oh, that's what I do as a coach, but it's not what I'm going to do in my social media. Use your clients' language in your social media.
Yes. Because people are human. Like people are humans. Obviously people are humans, but people like to interact with other humans. And I think it's the coolest thing that social media not only allows us to be more transparent in how we communicate with our ideal audiences, but it also requires us to do that. It requires us to be human. It requires us to show up as our authentic selves. Because I will tell you, consumers and people in general these days, they're smart. They can read right through the mumbo jumbo that you might be putting out there.
Be authentic.
Yes.
Which is really kind of this. So you talked to me about how important it is to build, to start with self-awareness. What is it that's included in self-awareness that brings us across as somebody who is likable and believable and authentic and all those kinds of things?
I love talking about this as it relates to social because people are always like, I'm not creative. I don't know what I'm good at in this realm of marketing. And I always say, start with what time of day you're most energized. So for me, or like there's less noise, you're not distracted. For me, it's early mornings. But for someone, a colleague of mine, it's late at night. She is like the night owl. She will create content. She's got all the lighting in her office to just have good light. I just use my window. And if it's dark, that means I'm probably not in a creative state and I won't create content. So really knowing when you are most creative, most energized, most excited. It also means you have to know what your anchor piece of content is. So for me, I have a background in journalism. I'm a writer. Typically, anytime I'm creating content, I'm writing first. And then I do the videos and then I do the graphics. I'm writing first. That's why I've been blogging almost every week for the past 3 years. That's how I get my information out there, organize it, and then I'm able to repurpose it into different types of content for different platforms. And the reason why you want to know what that anchor piece of content is because that's your jumping off point. That allows you once again to create content at scale, batch it. That's how you can get it to that 1 hour because you get to be in flow. So you're optimizing the time that you're creating content. You kind of have a mapped out plan of what you're going to be creating for that week, that month. And I always say when you're batching content, always aim for evergreen content, meaning content that never goes stale. It's always relevant to you or your business or your brand. I would utilize this upfront time during the week. I like Sundays just because then there's no one emailing me, no one bothering me. My house is still quiet because everyone's sleeping in. I'm up and I'm doing the thing. And that works for me. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Find that time. But what I love about the batching process is it allows you to create that entire week upfront of relevant evergreen content that speaks to your audience's pain points. But it also frees you up during the week. If you're like, oh, I'm out at this networking event, or oh, I'm meeting a client for coffee, right? And I want to just take a selfie with this client because they let me, and I want to take a selfie with them, and I want to post that and talk about the amazing conversation we had about XYZ thing. It gives you that space to be fluid, but it also optimizes your time, your attention, and how much you can get done in an hour. And it will eventually be shorter.
And it will, because it will, it's like any muscle that you begin to develop.
Exactly.
So when you're talking about batching content, let's sort of imagine that we were do you try to do like a theme for each week or month, or like, how do you advise your clients to create sort of the content calendar flow kind of thing?
Yeah. We start with even something more high level than a content calendar. We start with like an editorial calendar. Okay. And really what that means is either a 6 months or a 12 month kind of 30,000 foot view of what do we have going on in this quarter or this 6 month period or this year. That means, when am I launching a new product? Am I opening the doors to my course or doing another open cart season? Am I going on a trip, a conference? Have I applied to speaking gigs? Am I showing up in those places? Am I blogging every week? Am I doing a podcast? All of that is laid out.
Okay.
And so you know, okay, here's what I got moving and grooving. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be adding things, right? But it's just a good high level overview of what to look for. Then the next piece is when you look at what observances, national days are relevant to you for your brand.
So many national days that probably aren't, but there are those that are. Yes.
Yes. And that's why I always say relevant, because I'm like, there's a million and one, and then not all of them are relevant to you.
Right.
And we don't feel, I mean, the old way of social, right, was like, they're all relevant. That's something, it's giving us something to post. No, no, no. Always tie it back to your business in some capacity. It's not enough to just be like, I don't know, happy national, what's today? Let's see. Happy National Zipper Day. And I make clothes. Like, no one cares. Sorry, National Zipper Day, if you're listening.
Yeah.
So yeah, thinking about what's relevant, mapping that out there as well on the editorial calendar. So you know what the content you can do to plan ahead. Because all too often, I've seen this even from some of my clients who are authors. They're like, hi, can you create me a plan? I'm like, when's your book launch? In 2 months? What? So always plan ahead. Because I'm sure that client knew that they had a book coming out. They've been writing it. They've been doing the thing. Right. But social media is often the afterthought. I want it to be part of the main focus of your marketing for your business. And that goes with creating that high level editorial calendar, then mapping the content to a more content calendar aspect when you are focused on, yes, themes maybe for the month, which is typically where I make it easier for my clients. What are the themes for the month? What are the calls to action? What do you want to sell? What deems success in this particular month or the entire year or 6 month period that ebbs and flows as well? And that's where I often start. And a lot of people are like, oh, content pillars. What about content pillars, themes, buckets, whatever you want to call them? I think they're really helpful because it helps us stay focused on just different ways to position our business, our brand, ourselves across the board. So that we're leaning all in on sales, but we've got a little bit of behind the scenes happening. We have a little bit of promotional activity and we're showcasing testimonial. Like, we have a good mix. And that's where those content pillars really play a role, is to make sure that you're mixing it up and that you have enough content that's not just promo, promo, promo.
Right. Buy my thing, you've got to give value too, right?
Yeah. Or too much value. Yeah. I mean, value. But then where are you telling people where they can get more of that by paying you to do something, right?
Right.
Going back to Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm a fan, but like not a diehard like I seem on this podcast. He always says jab, 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 right hook, like give value, then ask for the sale. And that is exactly what you should be doing on social media, is giving as much value as possible, but also giving your audience the resources on how to take it to the next step.
Beautiful. Now, one of the things you said to me is, Meg, we need to make trends our own. And I think that's very interesting. So how would one do that?
I think it's funny because trends are not for everybody. Prime example, I was working with a fitness coach and she's like, we got to do trends, Carlin. And I was like, okay. And we ended up doing them and they fell flat. They didn't get engagement. Her audience didn't like them. And she looked uncomfortable doing them. Totally transparent. I was like, we need to figure out something else. Then she started to pivot into doing the talking head short form video, but made it about something that was trending in the news and things like that. Those related, those stuck, those worked. So did we have to try a lot of things and get a lot of goose eggs? Maybe, but that's part of social as well. You have to be, I think in sales, what do they say? Like, always be closing. In social, I always say, always be curious, be willing to put on the lab coat, roll up the sleeves and get a little bit curious around experimenting with different things, because trends are just trends unless you make them their own or make them relatable to your business. So here's a quick example. This is not necessarily a coach, but this is still really kind of gets us all thinking about the Milwaukee Public Library. If you don't follow them on Instagram, they're hilarious. They are really great at taking trends and making them relevant to them. There was a Barbie trend for a while. As we know, Barbie was a huge movie. And one of the songs and one of the scenes of Barbie, she's like running around the halls of, you know, Mattel, and all the bigwig executives are chasing her around and they're like missing her and all that. This particular repurposed of that trend, same audio, had one girl as like Barbie, and then had all of the kind of political figures, fake political figures, running around the library chasing her because she was holding a group of banned books from that particular county. So that, like, again, was related to that library in particular and that area, but it went with the trend, which was super smart because it got a lot of views.
Oh, I bet it did.
And a lot of attention, good, bad, or otherwise, right? So that's what I mean by make it your own. Look at the trend and say, okay, how can I adapt that so it's relevant to me and relevant to my business and my people who are consuming it? So
good. So
tie it back to your business. Because the worst thing is if you go viral and you're going viral for nothing related to your business. That's the worst.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess the worst would be to not go viral at all, but I don't know. But yeah, you go viral, but is it really getting you what you want?
Like if you go viral for like, I don't know, you have a dog and your dog is like the king of that particular reel and you go viral and then all these people think your account is about dogs and then like suddenly you're getting served content about how to sleep better. And I'm like, what? This has nothing to do with it. But if you tied it to, oh, this is my dog Sparky, and he is like the sleep training dog where he offers his cuddles while you sleep. I don't know. I'm making this
right,
up.
Right. But you got to tie it in so that people know what your thing is. I get that. I get that.
Exactly.
So we know that it's really about, I mean, that there's lots of different kinds of content to post and lots of different, but video tends to be what gets attention. So for everybody who just went, video, I don't know how, or I don't want, like, what tips can you give us about creating just short videos?
Maybe? Yes. So it's so funny because video is nothing new, right, to the social media atmosphere. It's been around for a long time. And the algorithms in particular have loved video for the past 6 years. But what's crazy is the adoption of short form video at scale. Facebook has Reels just because it's owned by Meta. Instagram was like, you know, the real creator, right? And it crossed over because they're both owned by Meta. But ever since TikTok came on the scene, which we'll all wait to see what happens with that, with, you know, legislation and things could be banned. So I wouldn't go in on that platform right now in terms of short
form. But that's not the only platform that has video.
Correct. You can have video on all of the platforms. And all of the platforms right now have the ability for you to upload short snippet videos. And so for me, short form video, I love because I'm not great on scripting things. I don't have time to script things. I don't want to script things. It sounds annoying. I'm not going to do it. So short form video allowed me to take one concept, one tip, one thing, and share it with my audience in less than a minute. I was like, I can commit to that. I can commit to doing that 3 times a week. Like, that's easy. So that's where I got my entry into Reels. And they're fun. And you can add music if you want. Shoot, you don't even have to talk on the short form videos. It could literally be, as an idea, I just tested this the other day. I added, I had my phone set up in my office and I'd set it on time lapse. And it was just like fast forward of me like talking on Zoom, typing, writing, looking at something, looking down. Like, and it was just a fast time lapse of that. And I said, this, you know, this account is for blah, 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 like the types of people. And I set it to a trending audio and that was it. It took me 2 minutes to film, but I wasn't even actively doing it. My phone was just set up for 2 minutes. And I just added text over top of what it was for. And that was it. Done. Boom. So it's as complicated or as simple as you want it to be. It's, again, bringing in that level of self-awareness and knowing, am I better at talking to the camera? And if the answer is not yet, I encourage you to test a few ways to post. Like on Facebook, you can post video and set the settings to only me as the audience. So at least you kind of get in the habit of posting. You can also do Instagram stories. Those are there and gone in 24 hours. So they're up, but they're not up forever. So that's okay, right? And then something that you just want to be aware of that's coming, which is why if you are leveraging LinkedIn right now, you might want to consider doing more vertical video and short form video, is they're testing a vertical video feed on the app. So there's going to be a whole feed dedicated to vertical video on LinkedIn.
Good to know.
It's in beta, so it could all, you know, go up in flames for all I know, but it is happening. It's coming. People are testing it right now. So it's definitely worth getting comfortable now, especially if the main place you play is LinkedIn, and starting to put up vertical video up there just for now to see, because by the time it comes out, you want to be a little bit more quick to get it out.
Exactly. So good. So one of the things that I know I've been guilty of, the coaches that I work with, is that, you know, so you put something out there, but you never tell people what to do. You don't, it's like, here, it's sort of that value without any follow-up, without even like leave a comment. I mean, any kind of follow-up. So let's talk about calls to action.
There are many types of calls to action. There's kind of two in particular. There's an internal call to action and an external call to action. So two of the main ones internally, meaning they stay on the platform, meaning they're not directing traffic away from the platform, are things like drop a thumbs up if you agree with this statement, right? Where you're encouraging comments below your content. And the reason why you're generating that conversation, besides the fact that it's social media and you want to be generating conversation anyway and building relationships, but it also tells the algorithm, hey, this is really good content. Show it to more people, right? Because you're getting interaction. That also means that you have to be there and present on the platform for maybe 5-10 minutes after you post so that you can also reply back to those comments that are coming in. Because that also tells the algorithm, oh, this person is actively here. We should continue to show it to more people. That's a big piece of that, you know, virality pie that people talk about.
Okay.
And then the other side, or one other type of internal that I'm seeing more widely adopted here in the past couple of months are, I'm going to call it more of an advanced tactic, but it's when you're utilizing a chatbot, like on ManyChat, you can set up where you have your post, and in the post, you say, comment the word social or whatever word relates to your brand to get XYZ download. So if you have a freebie, if you have an assessment or a quiz or something like that, this is a great opportunity to get people to take quick action. Because what happens is they comment that, and automatically when they comment that, ManyChat goes to work behind the scenes and sends them that link directly into their DMs. And that's how a lot of people have been able to grow their lists and their email lists.
Which is it? I was just going to ask you, because just because they say social doesn't necessarily mean that you get their email. Oh, but they've got to give you their email address to be able to send it to them.
Right.
So no, they put it in their DMs.
Yeah. So the link goes into their direct message because they requested
the
link. But
when they click on the link, they have to put in their stuff to get, get what you're saying. Sorry.
And I was
thinking they were getting an immediate download.
No, because the thing about Instagram, which I think, again, this is a workaround, is that's where really those internal calls to action work well. Because it's not really set up for external calls to action, driving people to another place, right? And we've known over years, like if you say like link in bio, nobody's going to the link in your bio. They're just not.
Right.
So
right.
How can you generate the conversation? How can you get them to have that conversation in the DMs? And that's one way
that
we'll have to do it. Yeah.
I love
then
that.
External is again, it's super simple, but it's also can feel like one of those things that feels super overwhelming. And you have to have one call to action, like one of those, or you have multiple bots, which is fine too.
Right.
But it's simple to set up. It really is. I know I think it's like, well, of course you say that because you're the social media. It is simple. It is simple. And I think ManyChat is a paid platform these days. It's been a minute since I've set up a fresh account, but there's a lot of other bot tools. But ManyChat, I think, is and has been one of the more user-friendly ones. So definitely check that out for that internal connection point, especially if you use Instagram as one of your key social platforms.
Okay.
So the other is external. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about external. What's that all about?
So external is driving traffic. This is where you're dropping a link, you're getting people over to that list immediately, and you're saying, you know, again, click the link to learn more. That's where you're sending people off of the platform, and they know that. So it's less about generating conversation and it's more about redirecting traffic somewhere else. And oftentimes it's a form of like, learn more, here's the download, or learn more, here's the blog. What I hear is like, well, doesn't social media not like that? Of course they don't, right? Facebook is fickle, like LinkedIn wants you to stay there. But I've seen traffic leave from social to go to these places. And one platform that I think a lot of people sleep on that is known for directing traffic, because it's a search engine in its own right, is Pinterest. People sleep on Pinterest, but it can be really useful to direct traffic if that's your main goal.
Oh my goodness. So many things to think about. So if we were, as we're wrapping up, can you give like maybe two or three highlight ways to get your content out in an hour or less a week?
Yes. So create content for your audience specifically tailored directly to their pain points. Tell them what the content is, give them a call to action, and vary up the style in which you present the content. Short form video, you know, graphic that explains what the thing is, a link. Vary it up so you can understand better what they like, what they don't like, and how to get more of them into your ecosystem.
So good. It's there. And I loved your idea of, you know, just, and when I say just, I understand that we're all busy, but if you schedule it on your calendar and you say, this is my hour to do this, that I'm going to protect, just like I would protect a client hour. I'm going to protect, and maybe at first you make it 2 hours because it's a muscle. We've talked about the fact that you are not going to come out of the gate like Carlin. You're not going to be like, you know,
no,
I know how to, you know, this is a learning.
It takes time.
And there's also people like you who help with this. So, you know, that might be part of what you decide to budget in for yourself. Like, do I want to work with an expert in this? But people are out there. They need your message. They need it from you. And they're not going to get it if you are stuck in paralysis of do this. So what we talked about today, we really looked at how you can create your content in an hour or less. And it starts with relationships. Everything we talked about goes hand in hand with coaching. Build relationships, be clear in your message. You've got content out there. I bet you've got content that you could repurpose. It's not always about recreating the wheel.
Yes.
And just like with coaching, it starts with awareness. How aware are you of what you're bringing forward in the way of your strengths, in the way of your strategies, in the way of the message that you want your audience to hear? Thank you so much for your expertise. If you guys want to know more about Carlin and the work that she does, there's going to be links in the show note to connect with her. She's fabulous, as I know you now know, so you're going to want to connect with her. My conversation with her is going to continue in the Star Coach community with our bonus content. And be sure that you come back each and every week for strategies, tools, and resources for coaches and leaders, because this is the place you want to be to connect with awesome people like Carlin. So Carlin, anything else as we wrap up?
I thought of one other tip, because something that I think really paralyzes us is the planning part, right? Like, you're like, okay, I set aside this hour. What am I going to talk about? And something that I've learned over time is I have a notes in my phone. And anytime a good idea hits my brain, ooh, that would be a really good reel, or ooh, that would be a really good blog. You know where I put it? I put it in the notes, because then it doesn't get lost in my post-its or on my calendar or in my project management tool or on my notebook on my desk. It is one place and it all gets gathered there. And anytime I'm like, what am I going to do this week? I can always use that as a jumping off point. It's a really great tool to kickstart your ideas.
Well, and what I love about that also is that our head should not be our inbox. That's not the place where we can keep things sorted. So how often do we waste time, energy, and emotion because we know we had this great idea, but we didn't capture it? And then we're like, oh, what was it? What was it? So just capture it. And then it will be there when you need it. So I love that idea.
Yeah.
A great frosting for a beautiful interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you.